Hello, folks. Thank you for tuning in to the weekend special. On today's show, Biden wants to pay Americans to get vaccinated, more restrictions incoming, beta politicians disgrace themselves on the 1-6 commission, CDC used false study to justify masking, as well as masking your children's and the effect of that, and finally, the infrastructure bill.
The Secretary of Defense appeared in public wearing this costume. That's Mr. Lloyd Austin, ladies and gentlemen, the man in charge of our weapons systems. What's he got on there? Is that a welder's mask? Is it a dental visor? Has Lloyd Austin been cleaning teeth this morning? Nope. Looks like Lloyd Austin is just terrified of COVID. Well, then why doesn't he lose weight? Quite a bit of weight, actually. That's a good question. That would be the rational response. So, of course, he has not even considered that. Lloyd Austin instead got the vaccine. But he is still so petrified of corona that he put a windshield over his face and demanded that all of his dutiful little minions do the same. An entire army of dental hygienists. Watch out, China. Move against Taiwan and we'll scrape the tartar off your molars.
Hello, folks. Thanks for tuning in to another weekend special, another edition. We have a lot of news, have a lot of stories here, mostly unfortunately related to COVID, kind of these looming restrictions. Maybe we might lock down again. I don't really know. I think the government has overstayed its tyrannical welcome at this point. That was Lloyd Austin. I think he was meeting in another country with, I want to say France it was maybe, with other diplomats, foreign diplomats. And he looks ridiculous. He's wearing, for you folks listening on podcasts, he's wearing a mask and then on top of that a face shield. And Tucker has a really good point, and this is a point that I kind of raised on Twitter myself, is there's all these people that are really out of shape, diabetic, they're overweight, and they're not only overweight, they're morbidly obese. And they're the ones that are so afraid of COVID-19. Over this last year and a half, you could have gone on some sort of weight loss regimen. You could have exercised a little bit more. You could have eaten a little healthier. Those are actually the best preventative measures that you can use to deflect COVID-19. So it's just, you know, it's hypocrisy from the left as always. So Biden, more COVID restrictions incoming. He actually has to, he says that to a media, to a reporter just the other day on CNN. Play clip two.
Probability. By the way, we had a good day yesterday. Almost 1 million people got vaccinated.
So what we're starting to see is he's calling for more restrictions. We've seen Biden now call for restrictions on federal government employees. He's making it mandatory. Otherwise, if you don't get that vaccination, you're going to be tested regularly, like weekly testing, which we see actually in the private sector as well. They're talking about this exact same thing, and this is just not in the healthcare sector. This is in other sectors of the economy. I live in New Jersey, especially around New Jersey. They're talking about it. I'm talking to many friends of mine that have the same case scenario. So Biden, most recently, I think it was today, he came out and he said that he wants to give people $100 to get vaccinated, and he's telling state and local governments that they can use the COVID-19 relief funds to give out residents $100 to get vaccinated. This is amazing. This is a CBS News piece. It's written by Catherine Watson and Melissa Quinn. Coming out of Washington, President Biden called on state and local governments to use COVID-19 relief funds to give $100 to residents who get vaccinated, and said federal workers will have to show proof of vaccination or face new restrictions in the workplace, including complying with weekly testing. This is what Biden had to say, and I quote, "We are not fully out of the woods yet, because what is happening in America right now is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Let me say that again, it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated," end quote. So yes, what we're going to see now is we're going to see Biden, we're going to see the Democrats do this positioning where they're going to blame the unvaccinated and they're going to classify them as Trump voters, as white people, as rural voters, as, you know, the uneducated Midwestern. Now that's how they're going to characterize the normal, not unvaxxed person. Statistically, the most unvaccinated demographic is Black Americans more than anything, but they're not going to say that. And here's my thing. I don't care whether you get vaccinated or not. If you get it, good on you. If you don't, I don't care, because right now the numbers look like everyone that is in the hospital right now with COVID, it is more than 99% people that are unvaccinated, people that have deaths from COVID most recently. 99% are people that are unvaccinated. So if you are someone that is unvaccinated, you run your own risk. You do your own risk assessment. And that's it. I mean, you put your life in your own hands and no one else does it for you. You do it for yourself and you're not damaging anyone else that has been vaccinated, because it looks like all the deaths are from people that are unvaccinated. If you've been vaccinated and you die from COVID, you catch COVID, most likely it's one of probably two different combinations. It's either you had a faulty vaccine that just did not work. It was a ineffective vaccination, or you were in such bad physical condition, or, you know, obviously if you're old, you have so many comorbidities that even with the vaccination, your body could not fight off COVID-19. That's really it. Other than that, and those are people that are complete anomalies, those are outliers, a very small percentage of the population. Other than that, if you're somebody that has already been or has not gotten a vaccination, but for the most part, those are the people right now where the case rate is jumping up. And the case rate isn't jumping up substantially. I mean, it's around what it was in April. I mean, it's nothing insane here from this, what they call this Delta variant. So, and Biden, now he's starting to kind of receive some pushback from the unions, but here's the statistic that I was just referring to before. The new rules for the federal workers and the call for cash payments are part of a broader push by the administration to get more Americans vaccinated as the Delta variant of the coronavirus fuels an increase in new infections nationwide. The vast majority of COVID-19 cases are still among the unvaccinated, and the Biden administration says 97% of hospitalized COVID-19 patients haven't gotten their shots. Okay, so it's 97%, I apologize, 199. This is the big thing that they're going to do now. They're going to try to separate the population. They've already done it politically. They're going to do it in other ways. They're going to now separate it from, oh, you're unvaccinated, you're vaccinated. It's an attempt for segregation. It's not an attempt for physical segregation. Maybe it will be in the future. But right now, it's much more of the mental sense. It's of the sense where if you've gotten the vaccination, you're a virtuous, good person. And anybody that has denied the vaccination or has not gotten it for their own personal reasons, they are someone that is unvirtuous. They're a terrible, grotesque human being. And actually, the most appalling thing out of all of this is the $100 that they're willing to give you for a vaccination. So to put an experimental vaccine in your body that does not gain the approval from the FDA, Biden wants to bribe you with $100. Like, that's the pathetic. You know how pathetic that is? That's almost like when a queen, or I think her name's Queen Mary over in France, said, let them eat cake. I mean, it's absurd. It's we think you guys are so stupid. You guys are so poor. You guys right now are so destitute, and you need money so badly, and we recognize that. So we're going to coerce you to take this vaccination. We're going to pay you $100. That's the decision that Biden made. He thought that was the great idea to make. It's just insulting. More than any, it's insulting to the intelligence of Americans, and it's also an insult to how adamant they are about their beliefs and what kind of conviction they have. He's making it like people are going to go get vaccinated just for $100, which people aren't going to do. Anyone that hasn't been vaccinated, everyone that's vaccinated wanted to be vaccinated, and everybody that's unvaccinated, for the most part, didn't want to be vaccinated at this point. I mean, we've had these vaccines out for how many months now? People just don't want the vaccine, which isn't a problem. That is their personal choice. These people that, and the left does a great job of characterizing and kind of doing their little posturing. They say, oh, well, it's selfish not to get a vaccine. Selfish, really, they're telling you, you want liberty, you want freedom, individual rights. You are selfish for that. Well, my answer back is, you want me to give up essential liberties to make you feel safe. Thus, you are the selfish one. I mean, we could play this game all day. So Biden receiving pushback from the unions. I have this ABC News piece. The American Postal Worker Union, they're against him right now. There's 50 different unions that backed Biden. major big unions that backed Biden in this last election, and apparently he's getting a lot of blowback from them. And really, this is just representative that the working class person is moving over to the right wing. I'm not even going to say the Republican Party. They're just moving, they're shifting themselves to the right. And this has been something that's kind of been going on now, I would say, for the last at least 20 years, because it's been very obvious and apparent that the Democrats don't care about the working class citizen. They only care about giving out handouts to everyone else that isn't working. So everyone that's working for a living, they go, what the heck am I doing right now? Why am I voting for this guy that is taking my money by at the end of a gun and redistributing it to an entire population that is not working? So how am I benefiting from voting for this guy? This guy doesn't represent the working class. This guy represents the elitist hacks, as well as the population that does not want to work and wants to live off of the welfare state. Now that is an idea, what I just mentioned, is something that has been adopted, and it resonates with so many people that have shifted from the left wing to the right wing. Because politics, the Democrat Party has just further and further pushed to the left, to the point where the Republicans really are just old-time Democrats for the most part. They aren't even really a conservative party. There's a couple of outliers. But for the most part, they are just really moderates or Democrats from the old age, from the JFK era. So Biden, like I said, may shut down again. And I have this woman, and I'm trying to find her name now. Karine Jean Pierre. She's the person that works, I believe, under Jen Psaki. She was doing a little presser, and she gets asked by Peter Ducey, are we going to lock down again? Are we listening to the health officials? Play clip two.
Thank you, Karine. So President Biden says we are not returning to lockdowns, shutdowns, and school closures, but he also once said that we didn't have to wear masks anymore once we were vaccinated. So why should Americans trust him now?
Well, because we listen to the scientist, we listen to the expert. This is a public health situation. This is not about politics at all. This is about saving lives. And this is what the president is all about. He wants to make sure that we are saving lives. If you look at Peter, the last 6 months, that's what he's done every day. And you see that in the numbers. Now we're at a point where we have to double down and make it very, very clear to people that we can't let the pandemic win. We have to continue to fight.
So if you're listening to the science, if scientists come to you at some point down the line and say, it is our opinion that there should be shutdowns and there should be school closures, you would do that?
Well, we listen to, like I said, we listen to the CDC and the expert and their guidance. The CDC is a body that is very well respected. And we follow their guidance.
So it never fails. We are going to take our power that we have in the government and we're going to delegate it to unelected bureaucrats like the CDC, and we're going to follow whatever their guidance tells us. If they tell us to shut down, then we're just going to have to shut down. And the reason that bureaucrats do this and they delegate their power because they don't want to take responsibility when they're wrong. If they have to take responsibility when they're wrong, then they may get voted out of office. So they love creating these weird committees and these councils that are comprised of unelected bureaucrats to take the blame and the responsibility from them. This is another reason why a lot of these politicians have these huge chiefs of staff, and they have a bunch of staff that read the bills for them. They do all this work for them. I mean, part of the reason is because, one, they're lazy. The other reason is they want to take as much responsibility and accountability from themselves and export it and give it to somebody else, which is why they go ahead with the idea of, we're going to listen to the science, we're going to listen to the CDC. And I'm actually going to go over the numbers in a couple minutes here, but first I want to show, now I have a tweet from Karine Jean Pierre. She says, to be clear, here's what POTUS said this week, and I'm quoting, and this is what Joe Biden said, more vaccinations and mask wearing in the areas most impacted by the Delta variant will enable us to avoid the kind of lockdowns, shutdowns, school closures, and disruptions we faced in 2020. We are not going back to that, end quote. So then she clarifies her statement. So that's what Biden said. She clarifies. She says, we will not be going back into lockdowns. Why? Because we now have the tools to put this virus behind us. The science says the vaccines work, including against the Delta variant. We urge Americans to get vaccinated. Okay. So this is a walk back because of focus group testing or backlash from the media, maybe backlash from the citizenry. Because the idea, there's no incentive behind going and getting a vaccination. And then being told you still have to wear masks, we're going to shut down the entire economy, you can't do this, you can't go to your job. Then what was the point of people getting their vaccination? Especially when the numbers just don't add up. Because people, Americans, for the most part, especially on the right wing, they know what they're looking at. The left wing has no clue. They'll just listen to what the government tells them. And now we're getting to a point where the left wing, really, they're just statists. They're shills for the state. They are friends to the tyrannical regime. That is what the left wing represents right now in this country. If you support Democrat politicians, you support the left-wing ideology, the authoritarianism that is rampant in the Democrat Party and the most robust in the Democrat Party, you have much more to fear. The Republicans and the Democrats in a general sense, you have a lot to fear from the establishment. But from the left-wing in America, there's a rampant, a very rapid pace of authoritarianism that has really taken it over and infiltrated from the inside to commandeer them to take over the American people, to take away as many rights as they can. And they will do that as long as they can, whether it's incrementally or small augmentations. Now they're slowly kind of ramping up the rhetoric. I'm noticing myself in public, I'm seeing more people with masks on that were not wearing them before. People are now afraid because the media tells them to be afraid, because the media will carry the water of the DNC and the DNC platform. So more restrictions as cases rise, like I said, have these numbers again. So more and more data indicates that the vaccines are highly effective. As unvaccinated people account 97% of hospital admissions for COVID, but they account for 99.5% of deaths. So we're going with 99.5% of deaths are from unvaccinated people of COVID, right? The other 0.5 is people that have been vaccinated already. So then this would signify in a way that if you're unvaccinated, yes, you do run the risk of getting COVID and dying from COVID. But if you're somebody that's vaccinated, you really don't, you're not affected. You are not affected. The only time you would be affected probably is having either a faulty test or being in bad physical condition. So this week, the CDC revised its masking guidelines and now recommends the use of masks at public gatherings that take place indoors. Now, this includes schools. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky stated, and I quote, "This includes schools. CDC recommends that everyone K-12 schools wear a mask indoors, including teachers, staff, students, and visitors, regardless of vaccination status." Unquote. This is unbelievable. So now we're going to be masking our kids up. And once again, this is just cowardice. This is cowardice from politicians cowtailing to the unions, to the teachers' unions, because teachers, about 40% of them, I read in New York, teachers, 40% of them are not vaccinated. The reason that they're not vaccinated is so they have a reason not to go back to work next year. We have teachers in New York that have been teaching from home for almost 2 years now, and they're looking to push this even further. Which is why they're not getting vaccinated. I forgot the name of the woman, the union representative of the American Federation of Teachers, came out and said, yeah, we're going to try to get schools open this next coming year. Like, the union is the one now. Now, this is what happens when you have the Democrats elected. They back down to whoever their interest groups, whoever votes for them, they back down super hard, and they instantly capitulate. So the teachers' unions are now running the policy. I've already shown you folks the emails between the teachers union and the CDC. The teachers union was telling the CDC how to write policy on their guidance in schools. So the teachers unions are the ones that are impacting this more than anything, whether or not children go to school. It is apparent, it is overt information, it is open source. So some more open source information I have right here. According to this chart, as you can see, I have the new cases and deaths. This is according to the New York Times. You can just simply look up COVID case rate on Google. This chart will show up on Google. So if you're looking at the case rate right now, July 30th, right? The 7-day average, or I'm sorry, July 29th is when I took this picture, the screenshot. July 29th, deaths from COVID, 397. That's the deaths right now from COVID, right? The 7-day average is 320. To try to break this down the best way I can, we have not seen deaths this low since March of 2020. And they're not going up. They're not an increasing rate. As you can see right now by the chart, we have not had death rates this low since March of 2020. Which means, which I would infer from this, actually go into the next chart and then I'll draw my conclusions. Next chart is case rate. So this is actually increasing a little bit. You can see a peak. It's nowhere near what it was when it was most rampant on January, in the very beginning of January, near the end of December, when you had the rates, new cases around 250,000. Where the 7-day average was that much. Now we're looking at less than half of that. We're looking at new cases around 95,000. And this is a daily chart. So what the difference is, so now we're seeing a little bit of an upgrade, okay? We're seeing a little bit of an upgrade in the case rate, right? But we're seeing a complete decline on the death rate. This means to me that everybody that was at risk went and they got vaccinated and they're okay, they're good to go. And everybody else that isn't at risk doesn't care about getting vaccinated because they know that they will survive this. So they continue to get COVID, right? They're getting their new cases, and then they're building up their natural immunity, which is more effective and more robust than the COVID vaccination. And they're surviving from COVID because most likely it's a young population that knows they're already healthy and that they do not fear at all. So this would actually, I would actually be able to as well conclude from this thesis that I just stated that it has nothing to do with whether you're Republican or whether you're Democrat or any of that. It really just has to do with, do you think you're healthy? People are making their own risk assessments right now, and they're successfully doing so. It shows in the numbers of deaths. The deaths are dropping, and they continue to drop. And yeah, maybe the case rate goes up, but the deaths are still dropping, which means all the people that thought they were at risk went and got vaccinated because they did their own risk assessment, and everybody else that thought, I'm not at risk, I should be good to go, they end up surviving when they catch COVID. So CDC, and this is actually probably the most troubling thing that I'm going to mention on the show. The CDC cites an unpublished study from India to justify the new mask guidance. They're telling people to put their masks back on in schools. And once again, I'm going to have some stats to represent how negative the adverse effects this has on the children going to school. So this article is written by Greg Piper. It's just the news piece. So that study, and once again, this is an unpublished study from India to justify mask usage by the CDC. And it's a study that got rejected at first, and then it changed to under review once the CDC decided to cite the study. So that study, which claimed the Delta variant produced an unusually large viral load in more than 100 vaccinated healthcare workers with breakthrough infections, was listed as having failed peer review in the journal Nature when the CDC cited it. So at this time, when they cited it, it already failed peer review. It was an invalid study. Archives of the study page on Research Square, a preprint server for unpublished research, shows it was marked reject on July 9th and remained so at least through the evening of July 6th, 26th, Eastern Daylight Time. So somebody went in there and actually changed the status, because this is a cohesive effort. And just the news, what I like the most about it is they have screenshots and everything, so you can just go to their page. Once again, everything that I refer to will be in the show notes under the description. The title of this will be CDC Cites Unpublished Study from India to Justify Masks. You can check out the article yourselves, just to verify. So, the reject status and review notes were removed by mid-morning and replaced with posted, suggesting Nature had approved the paper without revisions, which drew controversy on Twitter. The notes were quickly restored and status changed to revise, bearing the same date, July 9th, as the original reject status. So they had to go back and change it. This is amazing. So as soon as the CDC, there's a PSYOP going on here. People are talking to each other. There's a collaboration between this Nature, I guess you would call it the Nature Journal, and the CDC telling them, hey, listen, we're gonna cite your This is like so tyrannical. This is so corrupt. We're going to, hey, just so you guys know, we're going to cite this study, this journal. Can you guys make sure to move it over from failed? Because it's the only thing that we can cite that makes sense to make everyone wear masks again, because this is a huge power push. There's nothing else that we can use to justify it. This is the only study that we can find. We have to nitpick a study that's been invalidated by the scientific peer review community. And that's what we're going to use to justify mask usage once again. So if you guys can just move it from failed or rejected to approved, and then they got caught doing that, so then they changed it to revised, as in like it's still in review, or it needs to be revised and it'll be reviewed. So the representations of Research Square would mean the CDC cited deficient research to back its findings that, and I'm quoting, emerging data suggest COVID vaccines have lower effectiveness against confirmed infection and symptomatic disease caused by the Delta variant, which is now predominant in the United States. So that would be the conclusion that came from this article, right? But the best part about this, first off, obviously, it was failed during peer review. So it was invalid, whichever way in which they had to collect the data was just an invalid process, thus invalidating the entire study. Science News reported July 2nd, and this is insane to me, that, and I'm quoting, antibodies from both recovered and vaccinated people were less potent at stopping Delta from infecting cells than Alpha or the original version of the virus from Wuhan, China, end quote. So that's the story. Oh, this was the conclusion of this study. The antibodies didn't work from vaccinated people. But guess what? The Indian healthcare workers that they studied, that the study was based off of, they used a vaccine that isn't even approved in America. It's AstraZeneca. It's the AstraZeneca vaccine. We do not even have that AstraZeneca vaccine here because I guess it was found not to be potent. We are using, I think, what, Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. We're using three other companies' vaccines. We're not even... So there's a study that they're taking and applying, which doesn't even apply to Americans because none of the Americans have this exact same vaccine. It is absurd what the government's doing. The government at this point is just collaborating and telling people, because they're the deep state, they have a lot of connections and power, they're telling private organizations what to do. They're telling the scientific community where they're supposed to really... the scientific community, science is the scientific method. It's the idea of having a hypothesis, testing the hypothesis, and then having a conclusion that's reached from that, and then running more and more further tests to try to reaffirm that conclusion. Science isn't the science. It's more like the scientific process. That's really what we talk about when we state science, right? The government has completely upended the system of the scientific method and had a bunch of government actors that are in their pocket to draw conclusions that they want. That's all it is at this point. COVID effects on children. Speaking of that, Foundation of Economic Education, you have a Brad Palumbo piece. It's a new report from McKinsey and Company stating some of the adverse effects that these COVID, I guess, restrictions, you would call them, have on children. So it says, analysts at the global consulting firm ran the numbers and concluded that the school closures will leave students an average of 5 months behind in math and 4 months behind in reading. This is bad enough, but the analysis notes that these gaps are particularly severe for students in majority black and majority low-income schools. So the report states, and I quote, high schoolers have become more likely to drop out of school, and high school seniors, especially those from low-income families, are less likely to go on to post-secondary education, end quote. So that pretty much post-secondary is college. That's not a surprise to me that we have more kids dropping out now because they don't get to socialize with their peers. It's much harder to learn over the internet than it is in person, because in person you have much more of an undivided attention. It's more focus. You have hands-on interaction, which helps a lot more. There's some people that are better learning. They have different methods of learning. Some can sit there and just listen to somebody talk and they're able to retain the information, whereas others have to do hands-on approaches to learn the information. It's just different ways of learning. And really, in modern-day education, because it's so rudimentary and and obsolete, really. It's the people that sit there and are good at listening and retaining that learn the most, and it benefits them much more, and usually it's girls because of that. Our education system is aimed towards helping women or girls much more than it is for boys. So all this educational loss will have grave financial implications. The analysts find that students adversely affected or by school closures could earn $49,000 to $61,000 less over their lifetimes as a result. This may amount to $128 billion to $188 billion annual loss to the U.S. economy as the affected generation eventually enters the workforce. So yeah, because of this, kids are going to have some adverse effects when they grow up and they're adults and they try to get jobs. They're going to create less value in the economy because they don't have the same skills that they needed before. Because the last year and a half has been a joke for education, especially public education, which is why I tell people school choice is probably one of the biggest civil liberties discussions to have. It's one of the biggest civil rights topics that you can have right now. In terms of, if you're a conservative, I don't really know how you're opposed to it. If you're a liberal, I'm sure they'll find some sort of way because they shill for the teachers' unions and they love Big Daddy government because they're statists by nature. But on the right wing, I don't know how you can really be opposed to school choice. The idea of school vouchers, whatever you pay in taxes towards the school system, you get back and you send your kid wherever they want. I think this is one of the best incentive-based, merit-based systems that you can find, where you would take your money and your kid isn't forced into a school that they don't want to go to, that is inadequate, and you as a parent, you like to guide your child to the best possible education that they can get. I just don't know how you can really oppose that from the left wing, but I'm sure they'll find a way to do so, because they always find a way to amaze me with their idiocy. McKinsey surveyed more than 16,000 parents across 50 states as well. At least 35% said they were very or extremely concerned about their child's mental health. Nearly 80% indicated some level of concern. Meanwhile, parents reported a 6% increase in clinical level anxiety and a 5% increase in clinical level depression among their children. They also reported increased social withdrawal, self-isolation, lethargy, and irrational fear. End quote. Oh my God. So yeah, we sacrificed our kids to COVID. That's what we did. We sacrificed their well-being. We sacrificed their mental state, their emotional state to COVID. You can't hang out with your friends because we're afraid of COVID. Because kids, everybody knew this entire time. Everyone knew that kids were not at risk for this. So really, we put adults ahead of kids. We prioritized adults in front of kids, and because of this, now the kids are going to be having some very adverse effects in the future, and right now they're currently feeling them in terms of depression, anxiety. We're already seeing some of the effects of that. So yeah, so 84% of Americans have little to no interest in the Olympics. I just want to mention this Simone Biles thing. It's not worth me mentioning. I didn't even want to talk about it. I didn't really care enough, to be honest with you folks. I mean, it's nice to watch the Olympics. I think that over these last couple of years, our eyes have been opened about how much athletes really don't care about America, and they just care about endorsement deals and making more money and shilling for the tyrant communist Chinese, where they make a lot of their money. So I don't really watch. I don't really care much for the Olympics. Usually I would watch maybe gymnastics sometimes. I mean, just because we dominate so much. So Simone Biles. And I can't even find the video of her interview afterwards, because I think there's some sort of licensing agreement with the Olympics where they make money, so you can't find it anywhere. I was trying to record it. I figured, don't even worry about it. Might get kicked off because of it. But Simone Biles ends up backing out. She backed out after trying to do one of her moves. She failed, and she said she didn't mentally feel good, all this other stuff, emotional health, all this, like, whatever. I don't really, honestly, I think it's kind of like a soft move. I don't really care much. My problem with it more than anything is whatever her, maybe she had some sort of, apparently now they're saying she had some sort of orientation issues, like when you're in the air, when you're flipping and doing all these crazy moves. I mean, she's the greatest, she's the GOAT, she's the greatest of all time gymnast. her moves are so intense. Apparently, people are saying now that she couldn't orient herself in the air, so she was unaware of where she was, which could be very scary. If you could break your neck that way when you're going at that speed, you can have some serious injuries. Whatever. Her initial time when she pulled out, she said that's not the reason. It was because of her emotional and mental health. She might just be sick of doing this. She's 24 years old. She's done it. I think this is like her third Olympics or something. Whatever. My problem is the way that the media decides to go and run the water now for Simone Biles. And they glorify somebody that ends up quitting, whether you want to call it cowardice, whatever you want to call it. Someone that quits something is now glorified and idolized. And that's really the problem in American culture. Her actually backing out, I don't even care about it. It could be whatever. She may have had an injury. I'm not going to sit here and speculate. I just don't care enough about it. It's kind of like when LeBron James walked off the court in the third quarter like a big baby after he lost in the playoffs. It's like, I don't really care about it. But I know, you know, the media will cover for LeBron James, just as in this case as they covered for Simone Biles. I don't really necessarily care. The problem is the glorification of somebody that quits. This is American mentality now. It's okay to quit. It's okay to quit this or that. And listen, folks, everybody's quit something in their life. Something they realized, hey, it wasn't. I tried to play guitar. I was terrible at it. My fingers are huge. I have no dexterity. I don't have the hand-eye coordination. I quit. But I'll say it admittedly, but people shouldn't be like, yeah, man, good for you for quitting. That's good on you. Congratulations. So when she quit, when she said, I'm done, whatever her issue may have been, it shouldn't have been glorified in the media, and they shouldn't have played her up as, this is a good thing that you quit, because you got to take care of yourself over everybody else. And now, you know, the American gymnastics team ended up getting silver instead of gold, when they should have had gold, because if she was out there, they would have had gold. So it's kind of just, I mean, it's like a weird move to prioritize yourself over everybody else, and yeah. It's not even that. That's not even the problem for me. The problem for me is just the glorification from the media and how they make excuses for these type of events all the time. And they never did. They really just never disappoint. So that's my take on that. I didn't really want to spend much time on it. But so I have this support for the 1-6 commission has dropped ever since they started these hearings. It's a New York Post article. And first off, though, I wanted to play you the D.C. officers who seem to be partisan hack jobs. Play clip 6.
Use an analogy to describe what I want as a hitman. If a hitman is hired and he kills somebody, the hitman goes to jail. But not only does the hitman go to jail, but the person who hired them does. There was an attack carried out on January 6th, and a hitman sent them. I want you to get to the bottom of that.
I need you guys to address if anyone in power had a role in this.
In the academy, we learn about time, place, and circumstance in investigating potential crimes and those who may have committed them. And so the time, the place, and the circumstances of that rally, that rhetoric, and those events, to me, leads in the direction of our president, and other members, not only of Congress and the Senate.
To begin with, this 1-6 commission is nothing but partisanship. This is all about dragging this on as long as you can till the midterm elections, and then make everybody remember 1-6 like it was 9/11, which it wasn't. There was not one person killed from result of riots on 1-6, with the exception of Ashley Babbitt that was shot by a Secret Service officer or Secret Service agent at that time. So as you can see, you have a bunch of D.C. Capitol Police officers, high-ranking officials from what it looks like, and they're partisan hacks. They're implying that Republicans are the ones that planned it. Republican politicians, they're implying, obviously, it's Donald Trump that did so. They're implying that Republican politicians planned out an attack on the Capitol. And this is kind of the problem, right? So if you're going to imply that it was planned out, and then you're also, at the same time, you're going to imply that Trump called people to violence when he clearly didn't, it can't be both at the same time. You can't say, oh, he told them to go do violence on the Capitol building when he already planned that out, having that he already planned that to happen already. So you can't really make both of them work at the same time, especially when the guy said, to patriotically walk down there. He said peacefully and patriotically walk down there and let your voices be heard. You cannot call that. You can't classify that as an incitement of violence. You just can't. There's nothing there in case law. There's nothing in just generality. There's no common sense or common law that justifies that being considered a cult of violence. I mean, it is ridiculous that they even have this commission. Is all just for partisan actors, which is why we have Adam Kinzinger up next. He's a Republican, but he's really a Democrat. And it's him specifically talking about 1-6. And he starts breaking down and crying. It is really just some of the worst acting I've ever seen. Play clip 4.
Thank you to our witnesses. I never expected a day to be quite as emotional for me as it has been. I've talked to a number of you and gotten to know you. I think it's important to tell you right now, though. You guys may, like, individually feel a little broken. You guys all talk about the effects you have to deal with, and, you know, you talk about the impact of that day. But you guys won. You guys held. You know, democracies are not defined by our bad days. We're defined by how we come back from bad days, how we take accountability for that.
So all that considered, yeah, Adam Kinzinger, I don't know what happened to him. I think he's lost his mind. Years ago, he seemed like he was kind of like a Republican. I don't really know. I think that Trump broke him. I think Trump, like many other, whether you like him or you hate him, he was so outside of the establishment. People just didn't know how to interact with him. They didn't know how to handle it. When they found somebody that just kind of shot from the hip like that, and especially somebody that was pro-America, patriotic like that, that was a huge problem for the establishment, because they want to turn us into, like, you know, China, the Chinese Communist Party. They want to have that kind of control, and they want that spy state going on here in the United States. And to find somebody that is completely opposed to that ideology, and now they're the president, and they get more support than anybody they've seen in, you know, probably since Ronald Reagan. It's very troubling for the Democrats, and they don't know how to handle it. So now they're taking, like, this full-on approach for power, because they don't know how else to interact with this now. They don't know how to handle this other than trying to push it down the opposition party's throat. And that's why they're having this January 6th commission. These officers before, they were talking about, I wanted you guys to get down to the bottom of this. There's already been an investigation of this. Once again, folks, people that call this an insurrection, that is incorrect. Because not one person has been charged with insurrection, treason, or what's the other one? I've not been, the only charge that I've seen thus far is maybe assault of a police officer and criminal trespassing. That's it. There's no insurrection. Oh, sedition's the other one. Insurrection, sedition, or treason. You would need one of those to say that it was some sort of an insurrection. When people that are unarmed go to the Capitol building and assault police officers, they break in, as they said. The doors were open for them to walk in. We've seen videos of Capitol Police opening doors for people to walk in, like it was. And then we've seen Capitol Police negotiating with the protesters, saying, you guys can walk around as long as you're peaceful. We don't really care. Just make sure everything stays calm and peaceful, and everything will be okay. We've seen those videos. And then we're going to call all of those people insurrectionists? They're unarmed. It's an unarmed population. There was not one death resulting from a riot. People died because they were there and they happened to have a heart attack, or they have a stroke in the middle just from not being in good health. But there's not one death that resulted from a riot, with the exception of one person named Ashley Babbitt, who was not on the side of the politicians. I love how these politicians make it like they have some sort of PTSD. Like, it's the first time. Oh, so you guys, your lives were in jeopardy for the very first time. What about that kid that grew up in Compton? What about that kid that grew up in, you know, New Brunswick, New Jersey, Camden, New Jersey, Newark, New Jersey? We have so many shitty cities here. We have such a shitty situation going on here in New Jersey in terms of crime. Camden, I think, is like the third worst city in terms of crime. Murder rates are very high. What about those kids? Those kids are always in danger. Their lives are always in danger. We have kids getting caught by stray bullets in the middle of Chicago, and you guys are going to grandstand here and Capitol Hill and make it like you have some sort of PTSD because a couple of a couple of unarmed protesters broke into your building and joked around and took selfies. It is amazing to me that these politicians, they always find a way to make it about themselves. They're so narcissistic. So I have this infrastructure and budget, $3.5 trillion more in spending. New York Post hasn't really gotten that deep into legislation yet, so there's really not much to talk about. But it does say here that Kristen Sinema is already saying that she doesn't support it. So a key Democrat said Wednesday she will not support a proposed $3.5 trillion spending plan that her party had hoped to ram through the Senate without support from Republicans. Senator Kristen Sinema from Arizona, she's a Democrat, said, and I quote, "I support many of the goals in this proposal to continue creating jobs, growing American competitiveness, and expanding economic opportunities for Arizonans. I do not support a bill that costs $3.5 trillion. So she's saying this bill costs way too much. This idea of infrastructure, this spending plan of another $3.5 trillion, it's crazy high. It's way too much. I'm not paying for it. Or we're not paying for it, really. So the announcement means that Democrats will likely need to reduce the scope of the legislation to secure the support of Sinema and her fellow moderate, Senator Joe Manchin, who's from the Democrat from West Virginia. With the Senate split 50-50, Democrats cannot afford to have a single member of their conference defect if they want to pass a so-called reconciliation bill with just 51 votes. So yeah, exactly, folks. I mean, not really much to say here. I've been reading all different things. They were saying $555 billion of this would alone be going to, like, roads and structures. And then I don't know where all this money's going. From what I understand is they're budgeting in. They're taking one bill. They're taking the infrastructure bill. And they're also throwing it in with the budget of the government for the next 6 months. And they're kind of throwing it. They're jumbling everything together. And that's, I think, the reason partially, too, for the rhetoric right now on COVID is so that they can get this one rammed right through with no one realizing it, because this is a crazy amount of spending that they're doing. That's a lot of wasteful spending. It's just more printing. Whoever's closer to the money printer is really making out on everybody here. So the more money that they print, they continue to print like this. Big corporations know what to do when they see the government print. They take out as much money as they can in loans. They collateral it. And they throw it on different investments, and they hope those investments pump up, so then they can kind of keep up with the rate of inflation, or actually do better than the inflation. Because of inflation, that naturally causes a lot of these stocks to go up in their value, because they're pumping more money into the economy. People take that money, and people that are smart investors invest that money, because they go, if I hold this money, it's going to lose its value over time. At least if I invest it, maybe I can hold its value. So Democrats, additionally, they approve of government-funded abortions for the first time in 45 years. This is another story that's really been going under the radar. A lot of these stories are going, they're trying to attempt to go through the reconciliation bill. So they're going to need a majority at least, and then some of these are filibusters, so they're going to need 60 votes in the Senate. This one's written by Cassie Morrison. The Democratic-led House of Representatives passed a spending bill on Thursday that would eliminate a 45-year stipulation included in spending packages that prohibits taxpayer money from funding abortions. The bill passed with a 219-208 vote. So yes, Planned Parenthood, in a general sense, they're funded by the federal government. So no matter what, money is always it's always fungible. You can move from one place to another. So if Planned Parenthood isn't paying for, if the government gives them money and says, okay, use that money to pay for birth control pills, they could take that money and pay for birth control pills, and all the money they would have allocated to that originally, they'll just push towards abortion. So this really isn't a big deal in a general sense, because no matter what, we're funding Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood's biggest moneymaker is abortion. It's always pushed on people. I don't know why it's even called Planned Parenthood, because it doesn't plan women to have children. It plans for them to kill them. But in this case, they're pretty much getting rid of, they're throwing out the Hyde Amendment. And this has been passed through the House, so this still needs to go to the Senate, and it needs to pass filibuster, unless if they decide to lump this in as like an omnibus package like they love doing. And then it can go to reconciliation. All they need is a majority. I don't think this will happen. I don't think this one will pass through, but we'll see. House Democrats first advanced the Department of Health and Human Services spending package out of committee July 12th without including the rider known as the Hyde Amendment, which prohibited taxpayer dollars to go towards funding abortion. President Joe Biden, who for decades opposed taxpayer funding of abortion, buckled to liberal pressure during his campaign and said he supported removing the Hyde Amendment out of nowhere. We don't know why he just decided. I mean, all these Democrat politicians, they all love killing children. They love killing babies. I don't really know of one Democrat politician that is on the federal stage that is pro-life. No, I don't think I know one of them. Maybe years ago they were. Not anymore. Like I said, further shift towards the left. And then the Republicans are just moving to the left. Republicans, a lot of them are for abortion. So I think it's my very last article I have here. A key economic driver comes to a halt. Fox Business piece. And this is kind of related to my last article. Janet Adamy and Anthony DeBarros are the writers. They're just talking about population growth. Population growth is one of the best gauges for economic drive. Or the more and more the population goes up, that means most likely we're economically doing better. Why? Because more people adds more value to an economy. You have more workers involved. Also, additionally, more people having kids is usually a bullish sign. It means that the economy is doing well. People feel very safe. They feel secure in their living standards and in their job, where they feel like having kids because they can support those kids, right? So this article starts off, America's weak population growth, already held back by a decade-long fertility slump, is dropping closer to zero because the COVID-19 pandemic. In half of all states last year, more people died than were born, up from five states in 2019. Early estimates show the total population grew 0.35% for the year ended July 1st, 2020. The lowest ever documented, and growth is expected to remain near flat this year. Some demographers cite an outside chance the population could shrink for the first time on record. Population growth is an important influence on the size of the labor market and a country's fiscal and economic strength. So we're seeing drops. We've seen more deaths. More people die than were born, up from five states in 2019. So a couple, half of all states, we had this issue, and it's because people aren't having children. Why aren't people having children? They don't feel safe and secure. I think part of the reason, more than anything, is actually cultural reasons. We are taught in school to be secure in our jobs or what have you, to be older and try to have children. You see a lot of women try in their 30s or their mid-30s to have their first child, and they realize they can't. It's more difficult for them to do so if you have them in your mid-30s than to bounce back and have another one after that. Maybe you can have two kids when you're already in your 30s. That's the way this kind of works, and that's the reason why I think there's been a militantism, like a serious abhorring of people that want to have kids in our society now. From my generational standard, it's like a bad thing. It's like frowned upon to have children, because women think that they're wrecking their body. There's a lot of this weird cultural stuff going on where men are becoming less masculine and more feminine, and women are being pushed to become less feminine and more masculine and be more dominating in their relationship and make more of, I guess, I don't want to say decisions, but make more of these important decisions that usually were up to the men. Then there's certain decisions that culturally is up to the women. It seems like we're kind of starting to, it's becoming convoluted. We're starting to lose our way culturally, which we've been losing our way culturally for a very long time. So the longer term decline stems from millennials having fewer children, extended financial insecurity among young adults, and women's rising educational attainment are among factors overlapping with the pandemic years, health and financial shocks, many demographers say. So if you want to be radical right now, if you want to be radical, you want to be like this right-wing nut that loves freedom, you do like three different things. You get married, you get a solid job, you continue to say whatever you want. There's a couple things. You live in the woods, you have children, you teach them liberty and freedom. That is considered, you arm yourself, obviously, to protect your family. Those are all considered radical or extremist views nowadays, to have children and have a family. So we've kind of come really, really far away, and I think that's part of the problem, and I think that's why abortion is so acceptable, because we are so inhumane. We don't even see each other anymore in person. Everybody's doing their job remotely from home. They don't even have daily interactions anymore with people. So everything's kind of become convoluted and weird. We're in this really weird state of reality right now in this country, culturally as well. Even when you see people in public, they're wearing a mask, so you can't even see their full face. You don't even really know what they look like. So there's definitely been a loss of the human concept and human interaction. So the very last, I wanted to just show this video instead of having my quick articles. It's a fiery exchange between Geraldo and Tucker Carlson, and they're specifically talking about COVID and how there are illegal aliens crossing our border that aren't being tested for COVID. It seems like the illegal aliens coming from other countries actually have more power and have more rights than regular working class Americans. Play clip 8.
Hey, Tuck, it's a subject near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
I am glad that you didn't lead with the migrants bringing COVID in, as too many reports that I've seen in recent days do. Because those overblown health fears are the xenophobic reaction to immigrants since the Irish in the 19th century. The Irish in the 19th century.
Oh, spare me.
The Chinese in the 1880s, the Italians in the turn of the century, the Jews from Eastern Europe fleeing from the pogroms. Oh, they were all bringing smallpox. They were all bringing tuberculosis.
You know, Geraldo, we live in a country where we are being forced to take a vaccine that some people, newsflash, don't want to take, that Americans can be arrested for not wearing a mask. COVID is so serious, but foreign nationals break our laws carrying COVID and somehow they're exempt from the requirements that we live under? That's not xenophobia. That's equal application of the law, and it's not happening now. And it's an appalling double standard that every American, including you, should be mad about.
Well, I'm mad about exaggeration and hype.
It's a policy. They are not forcing. Look, if you work in the federal government, you have to get the vaccine. But if you break our laws as an illegal alien, you don't. Why don't you explain why that's a good idea to me?
Well, I don't think the segment's about me. I would be glad to, but
if
I think I would rather refer it to Jesse be the subject.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on with Geraldo. I think he's another one that was just broken. I don't know if he got broken by Trump exactly. I don't know what it is. Ever since January 6th now, he's just been gone. He's just lost it completely. Yeah, you have people that are migrants that are coming from the southern border, illegal aliens, illegal people, okay? They're illegally breaking our federal laws, our federal codes, our statutes to come here when they can legally do it at a point of entry, or they can wait online like everybody else. They're illegally doing it because they know then they can dodge taxes doing that, right? There's a lot of things that they can get away with when they decide to go through with something like that. They don't need to wait online like everybody else, which is probably the best way to do so, considering that the Biden administration is actually opening it up for even more migrants than ever before. I think he's like doubling the number that he's allowing legal immigration. There's no reason to be illegally immigrating here. If we're going to worry so much about what people in America are doing, we're going to make you have to wear a mask or else you get arrested or you get fined. And then we have people that could have COVID-19 that are not, once again, not protected by American citizenship or the Constitution, hopping the border where they can have COVID-19. Well, my problem is I don't care about COVID-19 at all. I'm not worried about it at all personally for myself. I'm not. I don't care about it. You shouldn't tell me that I need to care about it when you guys don't care about it at the southern border. It's a double standard. That's all it really comes down to. It's that simple, the argument against the left wing. So that'll really be it for this one, folks. I greatly appreciate you all tuning in. I know I didn't have any crazy news stories, really. That CDC story with the cancellation, or rather with the approval of a study after they came out and cited it for the justification of mask usage in K-12. I think that was the biggest story. There has not really actually been that much news coming out other than COVID restrictions, which I do. Now I'm going to, unfortunately, I was able to dodge it for the timing of my podcast because everything was kind of getting lifted when I first started here. But it looks like we're going to have to be going back into that, unfortunately, which I didn't really want to have to do because I think it's a boring subject where I'm going to sit there and tell you guys about numbers and I'm going to tell you what the Biden administration's proposing. And it's just, it's a bummer because I just don't really know exactly what the answer would be other than a non-compliance, a mass non-compliance. So I greatly appreciate you folks tuning in. As always, please like, share, subscribe the podcast. Let people know about it. Drop the mic is in my name, Mike. Drop the mic on people. Let them know about my podcast. Let them know, hey, it's pretty cool. It's pretty awesome. As always, in the description, I'll have my email. If you have any questions, if you have articles that you want to send me and want me to report on, anything about the any way that I could make the podcast better, any type of criticism of the podcast, I would greatly appreciate all of that. So everybody have a great weekend, and I will see you all on Monday. Thank you.